أحمدك اللهم وأشكرك وأتوب إليك وأستغفرك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, King on the Day of Judgment. And the peace and the prayers be upon his prophet and the messenger Muhammad, and upon those who follow him to the day of judgment. My dear brethren, as I proposed to address you in this Jum'ah khutbah, I sought inspiration in the Quranic verse, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. This is your nation, one nation. And in the saying of the Prophet, مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. Whosoever is not concerned with the affairs of the Muslims is not of them. And the saying of the Prophet, الدين النصيحة. قيل لمن النصيحة يا رسول الله؟ قال لله ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. The Prophet said, religion is to give advice for the sake of God and His Apostle and to the leaders and the community of the Muslims. On this account, I would like to discuss with you the happenings in a Muslim community, referring to what happened in Algiers, and you know what happened there. When the democratic process that everyone has long invited us to follow and to proceed, except in this case, democracy produced the Islamists as the winners of the first free election, about to be the first freely elected Islamic democratic government. Well, you know what happened, but there is a bit of information that I would like to share with you. Immediately we knew about the results of the first round of the elections and the massive victory of the Islamists, winning 188 seats, whereas the ruling party, under the auspices of which the elections were executed, won only 16 seats. And immediately we sent a message to the leaders of the Islamic Party. The center faxed a message that I would like to share with you. It was a 5-point memorandum following the Quranic guidance, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, because remembrance is helpful to the faithful. And we proposed to them that for once the moment of victory should be the moment where our emotions should be tamed with our minds. Not to be too emotional or too enthusiastic, but to ponder on the seriousness of the occasion, and therefore to tackle it not with the heat of our emotion, but with the depth of our thoughts. And we made a 5-point proposal in the way of advice. Point one, we suggested to them, if they took up the government, which was not certain because we told them that the reverberations of your victory are very highly resounding here, and there are those who expect and maybe wish that the army would interfere, as well as those who say, let them take government and they will fail. And if they fail, that would be the end of the claims for an Islamic government. And we wrote to them the following 5 points which should make an Islamic government a successful government. Point one is to announce peace, because Islam is the religion of peace, and announce a general amnesty. No bitterness, no revenge from those who were the enemies of yesterday. We told them that so many people feel frightened with the prospect of an Islamic rule, but an Islamic rule should be welcomed by all. And the step to do this is to say, we are all brothers, we are all friends, we are all Muslims, we start a new page, God forgives the past, and the viable sunnah that we see is the behavior of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he conquered Mecca in a large army, and then the enemies of yesterday, the heads of the kufr, came to him and he announced amnesty, you go, you are the free people, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Because it is easy to muster hatred in order to demolish a system, but as you propose to build up a system, you cannot build up through hatred. You can only build up through love. And unless the whole ummah rally in love around the new government and the new system, it would be bound to fail. Point two, we reminded our brothers that it was democracy that brought them to power, so that they should never betray or turn their backs to democracy. They should be protectors of democracy now and in the future. And we reminded them that with one reservation, one radical reservation, an Islamic rule is a democratic rule. Of course, Islam antedates democracy and came before democracy. But if we think of applying the Islamic shura that the Quran enjoined us to do, we will probably find that the model to follow would be very similar to a democracy. But with one radical difference. In any of the Western democracies, God can be vetoed or outvoted if you muster sufficient votes. Whereas in an Islamic democracy, the Quran is the constitution. And so if you legislate in conflict with the Quran, it will be unconstitutional. Given this, that the Quran is the source of the constitution, the machinery of government in an Islamic state is the democratic machinery. And this we see at the time of the Prophet and the Khulafa al-Rashidun. So much so that when the Prophet gave instructions, he was liable to be asked by his followers, is this revelation from God or is it your own opinion, Prophet? And if he said, this is my own opinion, it would be open to discussion and the Prophet will be open to changing his own opinion. And this happened during the time of the Prophet and his followers. Abu Bakr sought the pledge of the nation and declared that it was a conditioned pledge. You obey me as long as you obey God. If I disobey God, you owe me no obedience. And it happened with Umar when he was making this speech, and it was a woman who stood up to him and said, Umar, you are not in a position to decree that because the Quran says so and so. And Umar would say, the woman is right and I am wrong. This was democracy in action. And it was consultation all the time. Remember when the army of the Kafirs came before the Battle of Uhud, and it was the Prophet's opinion to stay in Medina and defend it. But it was the majority opinion of those around him to go and make battle at Uhud. And so the Prophet obeyed the rule of the majority and went against his own opinion. And yet when they were defeated, he didn't blame them. And the Quran was revealed to him. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. With whatever blessing from your Lord, you are lenient with them. If you are fierce or thick of heart, they would have dispersed from around you. So forgiveness, forgive them, and pray for their forgiveness, and stick to consulting them. The Shura was there even when it was their opinion that they led to defeat. So this is democracy. And sometimes I feel a bit uncomfortable when rigorous Muslims accuse democracy like being a kufr or the system of the Kafirs, and none of them would speak against dictatorship and despotism. Whereas our illness as Muslim nations is not democracy, our illness is dictatorship. So this was point two. Point three, we exhorted them when they apply the Sharia to apply the Sharia from beginning to end, not from end to beginning. When you build a house, the first thing to do is the foundation, is not the ceiling. And so many people, naive Muslims, and so many Islamic experiments wanted to start the Sharia by cutting the hands of the thieves. This is not starting at the beginning. Because Islam protects the Muslim community from crime through a three-tier line of defenses. The first tier is to produce the Muslim conscience, the Muslim sensitivity to God, the Muslim's awareness that God is there ever watching upon him, that you worship God as though you see him, because even though you don't see him, he sees you. And this is the first line of defense. That doesn't need a policeman or someone to spy upon you, because you will be a guardian upon yourself, your emotions and your deeds. You know that you are never alone, that God's eye is looking at you. The second line of defense is to prevent a crime by preventing its causes. And if people do crimes, and if people steal because they are hungry, then you cannot say, I am applying the Muslim rule by cutting off their hands. You combat crime by combating its causes. You combat crime at its source. And after forming the Muslim conscience, you have to make such a radical reform of the society that every person, Muslim and non-Muslim, in a Muslim state, should have enough to eat and should have the house and the roof over their head and should be freed from the shackles of poverty so that nobody has the excuse to steal. And this is the second line of defense. And only then you resort to the third line of defense, having produced the Muslim people, having prevented and abolished the causes that make people steal. Then if you steal, you would be liable to punishment, and the punishment would be fair. And even though that would be with restrictions, to steal and qualify for punishment, you should not be needy. The money has to be a certain amount of money. It is not government money. It is not the money of your family. It is a money that has been safely locked up, not just open money, etc., etc., and then there should be the witnesses, and there should be the due process. And then you think of chopping off hands. Regrettably, Islamic experiments that started lately or early, who would like to be Islamic, starting with cutting off hands, they fail. Because this is not the Islamic law. This is not the Islamic way. And remember when Umar al-Khattab sent one of his governors and asked him, what would you do if a thief is caught stealing? And he would say, I chop his hand off. And he said, so, if any comes to me lacking employment or feeling poverty and need, then it will be your hand that I will chop off, not their hand. This is Islam as God and His Apostle presented and taught it. It is not a matter of hot emotion. It is not a matter of superficiality. Point three, we told them that that will be point four. Point one will be a general amnesty. Point two would be sticking to democracy. Point three, to implement the Sharia, starting at the beginning, not at the end. Number four, we told them that the most pressing Islamic duty in Algiers today is to get Algiers to produce the loaf of bread that it eats every day. Because as long as you take your food from elsewhere, you are not in a position to dream of independence. You are not free if you rely in your food on someone else. And hence the Prophet says, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The upper hand, the hand that gives, is better than the hand that receives. And in other Muslim countries, independence is a joke. And they receive the wheat shipments week by week. No wonder, whatever orders they receive, they say, we hear and we obey. And so the pressing Islamic duty for a Muslim community is to produce their food. Because if they depend on their enemies, on in their food, they cannot be independent. And the point five, we told them that of course Islam has its enemies. This is not new. And some of them are real enemies, will always be enemies, because Islam conflicts either with their material greed in sucking the blood of others for their own riches, or of their moral deviations, Islam is a religion of morality. Thank God it has not been compromised so far. And no Muslim would say that adultery or homosexuality is halal. Alhamdulillah, the Quran is there to stay and God is preserving it. And that protects our moral code as Muslims from being pampered with and corrupted as happened to others. There are enemies of Islam who will always be enemies of Islam. But there are wide masses, millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people who do not know what Islam is. And the enemies of Islam portray to them that Islam is the natural enemy of the West and they can never meet. Whereas we Muslims do not consider Islam an oriental religion. Islam is a universal call. It is not for Arabs, it is not for the Middle East, it is for the world over. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, you my kind, I am God's messenger to all of you. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you for none but mercy to the worlds. But the masses in the West, judging but what they are fed with at an early age, since an early age in the school books, and then in the recreational and educative media, they take a false idea about Islam, and regrettably when they see the Muslims in their lands, they confirm the wrong idea about Islam, because Muslims in their lands offer a very wrong idea about Islam. And so we suggested to our brethren that Islam has to be known. People have to know Islam. We do not hope of invading the West by armed force, but it behooves us, and we can invade the West by the ideology of Islam. And so we invited them that they should provide the smiling face of Islam that the world should look at. Not a frowning face, not a vengeful face, not a hating face. Because we do not hate humanity, we love humanity. And when we wish that humanity would be guided to Islam, we take it as a sign of love, not as a sign of hatred. And so we shall suggest it to them that there is lots to do for Islam in the way of public relations. And if they furnish the good example in their own country, and talk to the people and tell them what Islam is in a graceful way, بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, then probably this will be the greatest contribution Islam can give humanity. Islam is the salvation of the current civilization, because the current civilization carries in its body the seeds of its own destruction. But we have the medicine. If only we can convince them that the disease they have, we have the medicine for, then this needs communication. If we can establish this communication, instead of always cursing and frowning and keeping away, etc., etc., if we can build the bridge between Islam and those who need Islam, this will be the best service for humanity. And this will be the fulfillment of our Islamic duty. We sent this message, and we made sure that it reaches them, so we arranged that it was published in one of the journals in the Arab world. But our speculations came true, and the army interfered, and democracy was thwarted. And instead of shouting for democracy and crying democracy in the West as usual, and as happened for China, and as happened for Eastern Europe, and as happened for the Soviet Union, now all that the State Department could give is that we are concerned. And when the spokesperson was asked, are you proposing to offer anything beyond the saying we are concerned, and she said no, that is all. So this gives you an idea that still the politics, the octopus which constitutes the body of politics in the West, is still against Islam. And yet we have access to the millions and the millions. And we should persevere. اصبروا وصابروا. And we should take our decision to go out and make Islam known. And remember, once the masses discover the reality, then they will not be cheated by the rulers. There are two Americas, America the ruling and America the ruled. And when the America the ruled discovered for once that America the ruling are cheating, and that happened towards the end of the Vietnam War, when America the ruled said enough is enough, we are dying and bleeding, so that the war mongers and the war industry will get richer and richer. Stop it, and it stopped. And alhamdulillah, we have access, we visit churches and schools and universities, we have our publication, we invite them to us, and invariably they say, oh, we didn't know Islam was like this. This is new to us. This is not what our heads were filled with about Islam. So we are making progress. And I am sure that over the past 3 or 4 years, you must have felt that there is a little of a change of winds. It is not 100% against Islam as it used to be, but we are making inroads and will make progress, inshallah. God is not in a hurry, but we have to work. Because this is our test in this world, and I hope we pass the test. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سلوا ربكم يستجب لكم الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى من دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. My dear brethren, we ask of Allah to make us the real thing, the real Muslims, because they say there are 1 billion Muslims in the world. If you really subject them to the specifications of Islam, we will find that many of them, even in the heartlands of Islam, do not answer the specifications. Islam is not just a noun, Islam is a verb. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believe and do righteousness. So the doing part of Islam is important. Islam is not a negative creed that you keep in your heart, but it has to be confirmed and expressed in what you do. And alhamdulillah, your concern is the American front. You live in America, you have the loaf of bread, you have the home, you school your children, you have Islam, you have freedoms, you have a due process that you can follow in order to make the word of Allah reach the ears of the people. If you do, it doesn't matter whether they become Muslims or not. But it matters because you have done your responsibility. If you portray Islam to people and educate them on it, and they do not become Muslims, the responsibility is not yours, it is theirs. But as long as there are people who do not know what Islam is, or are given the wrong idea about Islam, then it is in our necks and on our shoulders until we make them know. And so if we reach out and go to the people, tell them what Islam is, give them our literature, invite them to our meetings, this is the work for Islam. And of course, it all starts by being you yourself in what you say and what you do, a good model of Islam. Because if you speak Islam but act un-Islamically, whether you cheat, you steal, you backbite, you are immoral, etc., you are giving a bad propaganda, you are fighting Islam. We ask of Allah to make us the real Muslims and to inspire us the love of Him and His creatures and to enable us to fulfill our duty of propagating Islam and to cement us to one another by the bonds of love in Him. Because my great teacher, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, used to say, we will fight the people with love. We don't hate people, we love them. And We ask of him to accept us. If we see the fruits of our efforts, we'd be doubly happy. If we don't see the fruits of our efforts, at least we spent our life working for him, and we'll see the fruits in the hereafter, inshaAllah.